Hello, my name is Chris Green, and I'd like to welcome you to the Urban Life House Church webcast from right here in our Urban Life Family Prayer Room. We call this our lifeline for our house churches. Sometimes we go back in time on this webcast to special moments of teaching and prayer and encouragement for our ministry family, and this is one of those times. So allow us to take you back in this webcast flashback. God bless.
There's such a strong, strong religious influence that's here that can cause us sometimes to miss what God really wants to do. It's all over this country, but Harrisburg happens to be one of those areas, one of those regions where there is a very, very strong religious influence. And when I say that, what I mean is it's not just among the church. When you hear someone say religious, you think I'm just talking about churches. But there's a very strong spirit of religion here in this area, and that is manifested in perfectionism. There's a demand for perfectionism in the atmosphere, where people are judged based upon performance and always having to get stuff right, say things right, do things right, say the right thing at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. And that's whether it's on your job or if you're shopping in the store. I've seen people just under this pressure to always get things right. People get embarrassed if they're coming through the line at the store and if they don't happen to have their debit card right out right at the right moment, and everybody gets impatient in line because this person's taking too long, or if they gotta write out a check and they may can't find their pencil, and so everybody's under this pressure to perform the littlest task, the littlest thing, do it right, do it perfectly, and there's just this pressure that's constantly upon people. You're under pressure at work to say the right things, to do the right things, always respond the right way. And in the church world, of course, we know it's there. And so because of that, when we're going through things in our life and you just don't get it right. I know I'm not the only one in this room today. You just don't get it right. I know that I'm supposed to be strong and hold on to the promises of God because of what His Word says, but I don't feel it today. I can't do it today. Or I don't want to do it today. I'm supposed to be in strength, but all I feel is weakness. Feel like the Apostle Paul, who the Bible, he doesn't even say what the thorn in the flesh was. It got this thorn in the flesh, and I prayed and asked God to remove it, and God won't move it. And so things like that cause us in this day and time especially to feel like, well, maybe I'm missing the will of God, because the thing that's plaguing me the most, it just never seems to go, and I'm supposed to have this faith to speak to this mountain and have it move. Anybody ever felt like that? I'm supposed to be able to speak to this mountain and have it move, and I done spoke and it ain't moved, and asked God to move it and He ain't done nothing about it. What's up with this? And it's because I believe God is teaching us a very precious thing about living in the weak place. Living in that place where we are weak, where we are really weak, and allowing His strength. Thank you, Lord God. Anybody need that today? His strength is made perfect. His strength is perfected in me when I'm weak. And that just flies in the face of religion. Because religion says I'm supposed to be strong, I'm supposed to be on. I'm supposed to be on my game, if you put it in sports terms. I'm supposed to be on my game all the time. And I'm judged based upon that. And I judge myself based upon that. But here is the Lord. It's just there, y'all. His strength is made perfect. His strength is perfect when I'm weakest. Here's Paul saying, so I glory, I'm boasting, I'm glorying in my weakness. What do you mean by that? I'm admitting it. Because God's going to get the glory. I think that sometimes when we are talking about this great move of revival that God's going to break forth in Harrisburg, we keep looking for it to come through this group of people. This, you know, there's God's going to raise up some church in Harrisburg, powerful man of God, maybe a man and his wife like us, and all the members are going to be fiery, and all the elders are going to be on target, and all everybody from the ushers, the greeters, parking lot attendants, people in every, the choir, the praise team, everybody is on target, just perfect, blow Harrisburg away. And God's way is to take the weakest ragtag bunch of people who ain't got nothing together, who you probably wouldn't even follow them to the trash can. God takes the folks who stumble and bumble all around, who got stories like David. What? Yeah. God takes the foolish things. God uses foolish things. Foolish things. Foolish things. The ones nobody would choose. You know, when they're playing sports and they're picking teams. I don't know if you've ever been through that, when they're choosing sides. And they always pick the two best players. The two best players, they start off, and those guys get to choose who gonna all play for them. And so they pick John, and then another goes, I pick Chris, and then goes, I pick that John, and then goes, I pick Gary. And they go through the list, and they just keep picking out guys. Then they finally get to the guys that really can't play. And nobody's gonna really wants to pick them. Nobody really wants to pick the ones who can't play because they're weak, they're slow. They're not quick to pick up the plays and what we need to do. Now let me reverse the whole picture. Here is God. And he looks beyond the smartest and the toughest. He finds the weakest one and he picks them first. We all live in a world where the weakest and the slowest get picked last. But God picks us first. He picks them first. Why? Because he knows I can trust you. Whatever I tell you to do, you're going to do it. Because you know you don't qualify. You don't feel strong enough to do it. In fact, when I tell you to do stuff, I'll have to keep encouraging because you don't feel like you really can. My Lord God. I feel like part of what God is allowing to happen in America is he's getting our attention off of the biggest and the brightest and the best. It bothers me sometimes when I look at, I'm just kind of talking right now, when I look at some of the things that are going on in the church in America today, because we have bought into that ourselves. You know, America starts a talent contest in American Idol. We choose the brightest and the best and the most talented. So the church does the same thing, perpetuating the same mindset that only the strong can make it. Only the best will be acknowledged. Only the most talented can come to the top. Only the most gifted. When it's just the opposite, when we look at the word, God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Thank you, Lord. So what qualifies us is not the same thing that the world goes by. God doesn't use the same measuring stick, the same yardstick as the world. Aren't you so glad today? Thank you, Lord. You choose me, Lord God. I guess I need to say this to you today because you may have felt like times that you have forfeited your future and forfeited what God really is going to do and what he's called you to do. But what Carol and I have learned over these past few years, these last 3 years in particular, is how God will give you a fresh new start. When you just totally blow it, God will just give you a fresh new start. It's tough to go through that transition of him getting you ready for the new start. We started off this year and we declared that God said this will be a year of extreme makeover. And that God would allow this to be a year where things would be demolished. Demolition. things just get torn apart. We likened it to that television show. You may have seen that show, Extreme Makeover, Extreme Home Makeover. Isn't that a precious show to watch sometimes? When you see the things that they do for those folks, building them a new home. And the Lord kind of used that television show to talk about our lives and what he's doing with us. And so the things that he is demolishing, just like they do with those people in that TV program, they go in and just totally tear down that house. We saw one episode, they blew up the house. They put dynamite all over the place and then they blew the house up. Anybody's house been blown up this year? Just blew it up. And that's because there are certain things that in us that God just has to start all over again. Our lives have been pieced together and put together with fear and doubt. We've come to some conclusions about life and about the way things work and operate. And the Lord just has to blow it all up. He can't leave any remnant of that left and just build all over again. And now he's causing us to build based upon his word and his promise. Yeah. First of all, building upon a solid foundation. Don't you love it today? Thank you, Lord. Just thank the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord God, for I'm building on a solid foundation of your word. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Building on the solid foundation of your word. What a wonderful God. What a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So receive that today. God, you're doing a new thing. A new thing in me. Again, I declare and speak into your future. We think of it as future, but God thinks of it as the eternal now. Because God's not limited to time and space, to waiting for things to happen next month and next year. He can see it already. And so God speaks to us from what we think of as tomorrow and says, here is what I see. I see you fulfilling my plan for your life. Thank you, Lord. And in spite of every detour, and there have been, in spite of every distraction, and there have been, in spite of discouragement, in spite of destruction, even in spite of death and loss, the Lord our God, he declares a hope and a future, that which he planned for us. And so, Lord, even in the midst of our weakness, thank you for your strength. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Bless the Lord. We've been talking about all of this becoming and really becoming a praying church. And the Lord has had me during this month to spend time with him and getting away with him. And all of the time, it hasn't been necessarily with me studying. I thought I'd spend a lot of times studying and going through scriptures, and there has been that. But there have been times where the Lord, yesterday was just a special day for me. Excuse me as I tear up just thinking about it. There are times when the Lord just says, just sit before me. I found myself, and I know you've been there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You just cry in his presence. Don't say nothing. He don't say nothing. I thank the Lord that he's given me a wonderful marriage so that I can understand that. There are times when me and my wife, many times, just don't say nothing. You're just together. You can drive around in the car all over this city and don't say nothing. Because we're just together. It's beyond communication. It becomes communion, is the word. It's just communion. The more the Lord keeps drawing me into that, and all of us, I want to release you today from the religious expectation. You know, sometimes when you think about getting along with the Lord, it's like, well, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? Actually, he's just drawing you into communion. You don't have to feel like you gotta say anything. Just be with him. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. The Bible says he first called them that they would be with him. Just to be with him. I'm sure that some of the most precious moments the disciples, the apostles, had with Jesus were not only the times where he was talking and teaching, but the times when it was just a bunch of guys just hanging out. Just together. Can y'all imagine that, y'all? Can you imagine just hanging out with Jesus? Ain't that great? Just think about it. Just hanging out with Jesus. And I believe that's part of what he's drawing us into. Well, we don't have to feel this religious obligation. Well, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? You know, what kind of revelation am I supposed to be trying to dig and to get? Just be with me. Just be with me. Wow. Can you imagine that? Lord, I love just being with you. Thank you, Lord. World got a lot of songs like that about just being with the one you love. And we have the ultimate song. Lord, I just love to be with you. Come on, just take a moment today. Lord, I just love just being with you. I don't always know what to say. Don't know always what to do. But there's nothing in all the world. That's a song right there, than just being with you. Lord, I love to just be with you. Thank you, Lord, for out of this communion, you shall find yourself strengthened. Out of this communion with me, I hear the Lord saying, I shall bring the healing that your soul has so longed for. Out of just being with me, you shall find answers to those complicated worries that have kept you up in the midnight hour. Out of just being with me, you shall see my heart. Out of just being with me, you shall come to know my strength in the midst of your weakness. Out of just being with me, I shall be able to lead you through the maze. For you have grown weary in walking out paths and coming into dead ends and the detours. But I call you away with me, for I will show you great and mighty things. Thank you, Lord.
I do remove the guilt, the guilt and the pressure. I see, as I'm speaking to you now, I see in my spirit that many of us have grown up under the guilt trip, that you need to be praying more, the guilt trip of you need to be fasting more, the guilt trip, you ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that. But I call you into just a love affair. A love affair. The Lord just simply saying, remember when you were just in love. When you were just in love. The amount of time didn't matter. You were just in love. So I just call you back. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else will do. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Just tell the Lord, you're really all I want. You really are it. You're all I want. You're all I've really ever needed. Thank you, Lord. And in this moment, God, by your spirit, I break off every spirit of condemnation that has come and warred with your people. Condemnation that always brings those thoughts about the things we ought to be doing and supposed to be doing and should have been doing. We break off condemnation now, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just simply run to you. We come to you. Thank you, Lord. And we receive what we need. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord.